What jumped out at you as you went through the cyber policy as being particularly good?
Well, the thing that I was really actually kind of excited about to see the Department of Defense recognize and embrace was in the policy they list five strategic initiatives. And the second one is they refer to in putting into place different defensive methodologies. And at first I wasn't sure if they were talking about technologies or but actually what they referred to, if you read through the document in that section, is really some very simple things that many of us have pointed to for a long time as stuff we could do today that would enhance security, doesn't solve the problem, but makes it, you know, much lower risk, that the organizations under the DoD can do today. Things like better training and awareness for their personnel, their soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guardmen, and all of the civilians that work for them. Different things that are not huge technological leaps, but are things that need to happen today and can happen today, frankly, for very low cost, which is not normally what you see in a big federal program like this.
Well, that's one of the points that I took away both from the other coverage that I read of this and the coverage that we did here, and then from your piece, which is titled DoD Cyber Plan, A Rare Theoretical Policy Home Run, from the Security Debrief blog that we have linked up at federalnewsradio.com. One of those takeaways was the cost elements. Normally, when a recommendation is made, it costs a kajillion dollars. This doesn't. The second one was, especially regarding this initiative, is I bet that got in there because of Buckshot Yankee.
Well, I hope so. Today, if we could just, and it's not just for DOD, by the way, it's any entity that's out there trying to protect itself from cyber attack, if you could just get the entire organization to follow the existing policies and procedures that almost everybody has on their books already, you would greatly lessen your vulnerabilities. Again, I always caveat it, it doesn't make them go away. There are some very sophisticated threats out there that we all have to understand and face. But, boy, you could sure knock down the low-hanging fruit and keep most of the bad guys away from you.
One of the other initiatives here, and you outline them and comment on each one of them in your piece. The other one, though, that I wanted to ask you about is the first one, which is, you write, is a rehash of the department's position that cyber is and should be one of the operational domains which it must control to properly defend the nation. Why do you, what do you think was the reason that they made that number one? Just because they wanted to make a statement about the significance that they see? Make sure everybody understood where they were coming from, kind of thing?
I do. Within the government, there's been a great debate, and in the document, they're very clear they do not call it a war-fighting domain because the State Department and the White House, my understanding, in the development of this and the staffing of it, they asked them, hey, please don't call it that because it makes other people nervous. So they were clear that it's an operational domain. It's a domain like air, land, maritime, and space in which they need to operate effectively, but it's not, they did not go over that line and call it a war-fighting domain. It's kind of a nuance, but, you know, when you get into diplomacy and things like that, nuances really matter. But they did want to put that stake in the ground that, hey, we need to categorically state that we've got to operate in this domain if we are going to have a chance at properly defending the networks that are given to them for that responsibility.
All right. I'm a little bit of a cynical guy, and I try to read between the lines when I read just about everything that I read these days. When I got to the end of your piece and you write, all said I was very pleased. The policy honestly addresses pretty much all of the key issues facing us in cyber. They've gone for the easiest and, in my opinion, most potentially effective ways to make progress. That's pretty high praise. Was I incorrect in detecting maybe an element of surprise in your tone there where you were pleasantly surprised that they went the direction that they did?
I was, and I will openly say I was pleasantly surprised, because I thought, you know, I mean, I've been around Washington for 10-plus years now, and it, you know, usually when this kind of stuff comes out, it's there's a usually very thinly veiled attempt to make sure you're protecting programs and maybe expand them. And in the time of fiscal austerity, you know, cyber is a big issue. You know, should we leverage cyber to try and get more money? You know, those sort of things. And I don't think they did that here. I think they actually went for what was potentially effective and potentially doable in the short term, where the needs were. They recognized that, you know, there is an insider threat issue. For a long time, a lot of folks in DOD did not feel that was a big issue for them. And post WikiLeaks, everybody realized, holy smoke, anybody can get hit with an insider event. And so they're now moving in the direction of trying to do everything a big, complicated, very dispersed organization like the Department of Defense can do to minimize that area of risk. So I was very pleased. You know, I spent a lot of time in the Department of Defense most of my adult life, and I was very pleased that they took what seemed to me to be a very practical and very effective direction.